You're listening to If You Only Knew on 97.9 The Hill. Dr. Deborah Stroman brings you stimulating sports and society discussions with some of the biggest influencing forces in sports and sports business. From athletes to owners, If You Only Knew covers all the bases with informative and engaging content from end zone to end zone.
It is ACC Women's Basketball Tournament time. It is March Madness, always a great time, and certainly when you have the opportunity to be a part of the Greensboro experience and watching all these wonderful programs come to one central location. For basketball fans, it is the place to be. I am joined by the Wizard, Chi Nwogu, who is all things basketball, analytics, experiences. And Chi, let's talk about this 2024 ACC tournament. Let's talk first about the teams, the predictions. Any thoughts about who will play well and who will not?
Yeah, it's really, I think we've talked about all year how this is a very, very stacked ACC field. I think we are going to see a very competitive tournament. I obviously, the big news is Elizabeth Kitley, who might be out for the tournament. ACC Player of the Year for back-to-back seasons now, led them to a Final Four run last year. So if she needs to rest during this time to be fully healthy for the big tournament, I have no doubt that Coach Brooks would do that. And so I think for me right now, I take them out my field because of her injury uncertainty. But I think if we take Virginia Tech out, I do really like the way Notre Dame is playing. I think that team has been playing well all season. Last year, they lost their star player, Olivia Miles, right around this time before the tournament. And then they had to kind of readjust and make a push. But I think with a full season of them coming together, building the team, I do think for them as a four seed, having that double bye is really important. So I think that goes a long way for them. So I like them overall to win the tournament. But I think some teams like Syracuse, I do think NC State will bounce back after a tough stretch in the season. But overall, I have Notre Dame taking it all. I have Virginia Tech most likely not making it to the finals.
Well, there's no doubt when you take out All-American ACC Player of the Year two, three times, arguably, in terms of her talent, that's going to affect the league. But when I think overall and where the league has come from, doing a little history here, going back to February 11th, 1978, that was the first ACC women's basketball tournament that was official. And it was held at the University of Virginia under the leadership of Barbara Kelly, who I remember as our athletic director for women's sports. This was the time before the NCAA, as some would say, did the coup and took over. Or I should just say just took over. It wasn't a coup because they weren't the smaller organization. Yeah. But the AIAW, the Association for Intercollegiate Athletics for Women, that was the governing body. And the decision was made that the AIAW would merge or would come under the governance of the NCAA. And during that time period, when I played Maryland, I miss them dearly in the ACC, but Maryland and NC State were the powerhouses. And that was a great game. It ended up that Maryland won, beating NC State 89-82. When I think about all the attention with women's basketball, you know, having arenas that have 5, 10, 20,000 people. Back then, it was 1,500 people who watched that game in University Hall. And then we look today. And knowing that, I'm pretty sure that we're going to get eight teams that will receive NCAA bids, and possibly Miami, Georgia Tech, and Virginia may get an NIT bid. To think of where this league is and the attention is nothing short of marvelous and wonderful.
Yeah, I agree completely. I think even watching the way Virginia, right, your team has really battled all season long, and they beat Virginia Tech this weekend. And I think, to me, I think a team like them as 11 seed could beat Wake Forest, most likely, could very well beat Florida State, and could be Syracuse, right? I could see Virginia making a run, right, and doing great. And I think that speaks to the depth of this league, and speaks to the quality of coaching and players that have come to this league.
No doubt, no doubt. And then when I think about the history, The men's program, the men's teams, because of the footprint of the ACC, the leadership has decided that it's important for the ACC tournament for the men to travel. And so they'll be in Washington, D.C., and then I believe they're coming to Charlotte. But for the women, I like it in Greensboro. Am I biased? Yes, because I'm right down the road in Chapel Hill. But I think there's something about Greensboro. They call it Tournament Town because of the hospitality, all of that. But I would love to see the women stay in North Carolina. Even though we have great fan bases, no doubt in Louisville, no doubt in Miami, we could travel as well. But I would hope that somehow, some way, more often than not, that the tournament will always stay in Greensboro. With that being said, the arena holds about 20,000 people. But in the past, we've always had the curtains up on the upper area to make it seem more intimate and more engaged. But maybe at one point, we won't need the curtains and we'll have more people come out.
Yeah, for sure. And I think we're getting there. I think Caitlin Clark, Angel Reese, Deja Kelly, all these players, right, who I think have really raised the profile of women's basketball. I think we're close to that point. So it makes me very happy to see these women get their due credit because it is great to watch them grow and excel. I think we will see a whole lot more great basketball these next few weeks across the board. I'm excited.
The other thing to note is that we have three outstanding male coaches in the league. We've got Brooks at Virginia Tech, Moore at NC State, and Waltz at Louisville. You know, being a man that you love men's basketball, women's basketball, any take or any thought about, you know, when you've had the opportunity to teach or coach girls or women, any differences that you've found? Because these men are doing it. They are great coaches.
And I also want to give a shout out to Coach of the Year Felicia Leggett Jack at Syracuse, who had a great season. But to your point, Kenny Brooks and Wes Moore finished 2 and 3 in Coach of the Year voting this year. So I think it is tough to, for me, I have coached women before. I think sometimes the things which you feel uncomfortable saying as a man. So I think really, hopefully, they have great assistant coaches to help them. Right? Sometimes, you know what, you guys have those convos, and I'll stick to coaching because it is about managing people and personalities. And so I would think that Kenny Brooks and Wes Moore have built a great staff to help them do their jobs while still connecting with these women as human beings, which to me is a job, a coach's most important job, right? Trying to bring the best out of your players. And clearly Kenny Brooks has done that, so has Wes Moore. And so yeah, it's great to see, but also love seeing women coaches win Coach of the Year, right? And from that point move on and become the next Dawn Staley, who I think is the best coach in all of basketball, men's, women's, pro, amateur, you call it. She's the best coach in all of basketball. So, but shouts to Kenny Brooks and Wes Moore for being up there in Coach of the Year voting.
Well stated, well stated. You're listening to Dr. Debbie Stroman, If You Only Knew, talking to Chi, the Wizard, and Wogu, women's basketball.
You're listening to If You Only Knew on 97.9 The Hill. Here's Dr. Deborah Stroman.
You're listening to If You Only Knew with Dr. Debbie Stroman, and I'm talking women's basketball, in particular, the ACC Women's Basketball Tournament at the Greensboro Coliseum. Hopefully you will tune in with your favorite radio station, or preferably come on over to Greensboro and be a part. Watch these great athletes and coaches do their thing. Chi, matchups. We've got eight teams that should be in the NCAA tournament. That means, I believe, eight teams could win this thing. So what's your take? Let's talk about the top four seeds first and the importance of having that double bye, or excuse me, the bye. And then let's talk about these other games that which should be pretty competitive.
Yeah, I mean the double bye is absolutely huge. I mean, we mentioned Virginia Tech with Kittley's injury, so having some time to rest and see how she feels is really, really key. I feel as if NC State in some way stumbled down the stretch. So I think for them, just trying to get back to practice, maybe work some things out, which have not been working well. The team which I think is going to hurt the most in the bye is Syracuse. I think they're playing just great basketball across the board. So to me, I think a little gap in them playing might not be the best. And if anyone, I think they're the top four seed who has the highest chance of being upset in their game. I'm looking at Virginia. I think UVA is playing great basketball as of late. Kimura Johnson, the freshman, was named, I think, second team All ACC. And they're really winning some close games against good teams. I think I could see them getting hot from beating Wake Forest in their first game, playing a tough Florida State team, but a very beatable team in Florida State. And from that point, playing Syracuse, who really was not picked to be a top four seed or a top eight seed, right, coming into the season. So to me, I think if anyone, Syracuse is most susceptible to an upset as a top four seed. And so we'll see what happens there. But my pick is still Notre Dame to come out as a top four seed to make it to the finals.
Well, that's a good pick. No doubt Virginia Tech, being an elite program now, he's got a good bench, but there's nothing like losing your top star at tournament time. Right now, it's a reset for all the coaches. They've explained that the first part of the season is over. Now it's time for tournament, and then you've got the NCAA tournament. So this is the, I guess you could say, the midpoint in terms of what these elite teams want to accomplish. And I think everybody's goal is to, make it to the tournament, make it to the Final Four for some other teams. So when we think about it, in a tournament to win, you've got to have depth. You have to have players that can that know their roles and know that this is for, not one game, but you've got to measure yourself. You've got to be calculated. You've got to give your stars, the starters, rest. They can't play in the last, 3 or 4 minutes when you're blowing a team out. So the coaching is really, really critical in these tournaments. So with that being said, when we think about depth, I do like Notre Dame, even though they're led by a first-year All-star Hildego. I mean, she is amazing. But they do have depth there, and they have experience. It's a winning program under, former Hall of Famer Muffet McGraw. I also think that a team that might have some difficulty with the depth, besides Virginia Tech because of losing Kittley, but I'm thinking about NC State. They're a strong team. I expect them to do well in the tournament. But Coach Moore, he's going to have to use everything in his playbook, that if anybody, in particular Rivers, if they should get into foul trouble or they're not able to, give you everything that you need for every game, I think that's a little suspect. But other than that, I feel good about all of the top four seeds. I think they all will advance. But again, who knows? It is a tournament. How about these other teams? What are your takes?
My takes are I think this UNC Miami game is going to be really, really good. It is the 8-9 matchup, so two really evenly matched teams. And talking about depth, the UNC depth just does concern me a bit, especially at the guard position. I think we've been seeing Deja Kelly play 40 minutes, 38 minutes, a lot the past few weeks. And so to me, a team like Miami, which has a bunch of guards who are very active on defense, that could cause some issues, right? We kind of saw Duke do different things against Deja in their last game, but UNC still came out on top based on, I think, timely shooting from their players. And so I think that matchup is a bit scary for UNC, but I do think UNC can pull it off in part because of having home court advantage, right? And playing in Greensboro, it should be a very much a pro UNC crowd. So I think that's the slight edge there. But Miami to me is a tough team, and they're probably the last team to just miss the tournament, the big tournament from ACC. So Georgia Tech and Pitt, I think Georgia Tech is a scrappy team as well. We've seen them upset teams before. I think they can potentially upset Duke in that next round matchup. So to me, I have Georgia Tech knocking off Duke. And then from that point, I have Louisville, Notre Dame winning that game, Virginia Tech, UNC, UNC wins, Virginia, UNC wins that game. I have Virginia Tech being upset by UNC in the quarterfinals. Then I have Georgia Tech losing to NC State. And then I have UVA upsetting Syracuse. And so really we're gonna have a UVA NC State semifinal, and then we'll have a Notre Dame UNC semifinal, and then Notre Dame against NC State, and then Notre Dame takes it all in the finals.
All right, that is very, very bold. Well, something would be wrong with me, I'll say it that way, if I didn't speak about Virginia. I certainly feel that they are playing very, very well, beating Virginia Tech and having great, great wins against Carolina and Florida State and Louisville this year. But that being said, I think when they looked at the bracket, they felt good about the possibility. But with that being said, you have to ground yourself because Wake Forest is playing at home, and they always have a very good crowd at the Greensboro event. And so Virginia cannot be cocky saying that, hey, if we win this game, we've already beaten Florida State before. They have to take it one game at a time. I do like the depth with Virginia. I think from the beginning of the season, Coach Mox has played a lot of players, and this will come back to help her during a time like this. These players that come off the bench are used to getting game time action. I think there are some people who questioned her playing so many players at the beginning of this season, but now it's a time where this can pay off for you. I'm hopeful about Carolina. I think the Miami game will be a tough one. They had a great win, on Senior Day, beating Duke. But to your point, a lot of them are tired, and they're going to have to dig really, really deep and be ready to play again. So I know they've taken advantage of the rest over the past 2 days, but Carolina is going to have to really show up and just from the opening whistle, play really, really hard in those first 5 minutes. So we're talking women's basketball, If You Only Knew, with Dr. Debbie Stroman on 97.9 The Hill.
You're listening to If You Only Knew on 97.9 The Hill. Here's Dr. Deborah Stroman.
You're listening to If You Only Knew with Dr. Debbie Stroman and Chi the Wizard. We are talking women's basketball, really excited about the ACC tournament and how it is a great launching pad for our teams in the NCAA tournament. Let's go deeper with North Carolina. I'm looking at one area in particular that can really make a difference for teams in the playoffs, and that is free throw percentage. North Carolina women are number 14 out of 15 teams in the ACC. They're only shooting about 67%. Virginia Tech and Virginia and Florida State shooting over 75%. Free throw shooting, Carolina, could that be kryptonite for the team?
For sure, it can be, especially when your two best players are sub 70% from the free throw line. Deja and Alyssa are great players, but at times they've been inconsistent at the free throw line. Looking back at the last game for Deja against Duke, right? She went 4 for 9 from the free throw line. And so what was a 4-point win could have been a bigger win, right? And if it was a closer game, who knows if those 5 free throws come back and bite you. So, but then she was 4 for 4 against BC and some against Virginia Tech. So I think for her, it's all about, can she be consistent and make the big shots when they count? And also, I think not be afraid to get to the basket and draw fouls. I think many times UNC takes a lot of jump shots. They do take a lot of threes and try to get offense going that way. So I think they need to really focus more on getting to the basket, getting teams in foul trouble, slowing the game down, and taking free throws to kind of rest. Because if not, if you're playing back and forth nonstop against these teams which have depth, you're not going to make it. And so I think getting to a free throw line and making shots would be key for them if they want to make a deep run.
Yeah. I'm thinking about on the defensive end, this is where North Carolina has been much better in terms of field goal percentage defense. They're number 5 in the league. I think that will help them out tremendously. Not too good with the 3-point field goal percentage defense. And really that's about being in shape, being determined and running to the ball, or understanding how to fight through picks properly to get out to that 3-point shooter. But I think their defense is going to play a big part of their tournament run. And of course, that means depth, right? To play good defense, you have got to be in great shape and you've got to communicate. And when you're tired, that's the first thing to go, is your communication skills and your defense. What do you think about UNC's defense?
I think UNC's defense is best when they have India Navarre playing basketball. India Navarre is, I mean, scrappy, gets in there physical. I think for me, she needs to play 30 plus minutes. I'm sorry, but a player like her and her defensive intensity can't be playing 22, 14, 20 minutes a game. No, you can't. And I think that's where coaching has to understand that, okay, Let's have Deja come out for maybe 2, 3 minutes, right? And then from that point, just run the offense through Alyssa and have India handle the ball. But I think India Navarre is really key to this team on both ends, especially on defense. And if UNC is going to make a deep run, then she needs to be the best sixth player in the tournament. And I think she can be. I think she really can be. But it's all based on playing time for her.
And that is well put, especially when you just talk about her overall hustle and what she brings when she comes out there. The other one that is very, very important, again, as you make a tournament run, is on offense. And North Carolina is tied for last with Wake Forest in terms of assists. And I think that goes to a lot of one-on-one play. Deja Kelly, she is very, very tough to guard one-on-one, and that can be a blessing and it can be a burden. I'd love to see Deja when she does pass the ball. I think she's very effective shooting and passing, but the ball has to move more. And Donarski has to get those open threes, which means you've got to move the ball. So, women's basketball, I'm looking forward to the playoffs, ACC tournament, NCAA tournament. I want to thank Chi and Wugu for being a great co-host with me. We'll hear more from him as the NCAA tournament moves forward. If You Only Knew with Dr. Debbie Strowman on 97.9 The Hill.
You've been listening to If You Only Knew on 97.9 The Hill with Dr. Deborah Strowman. You can listen to all episodes at chapelboro.com/ If You Only Knew.